Welcome to Interactive Church. The topic of the readings for this meeting is Making a Good Investment. The hymns are 215, 249, and 119. I shall be reading selected passage in the King James Bible and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Bakley, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Matthew, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of, all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Mark. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, it was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Proverbs. Wisdom is better than rubies. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. And from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. From the glossary, purse. Laying up treasures in matter, error. Paul and John had a clear apprehension that as mortal man achieves no worldly honors except by sacrifice, so he must gain heavenly riches by forsaking all worldliness. We know that a desire for holiness is requisite in order to gain holiness. But if we desire holiness above all else, we shall sacrifice everything for it. Sensual treasures are laid up where moth and rust doth corrupt. Mortality is their doom. Sin breaks in upon them and carries off their fleeting joys. The sensualist's affections are as imaginary, whimsical, and unreal as his pleasures. Falsehood, envy, hypocrisy, malice, hate, revenge, and so forth steal away the treasures of truth. Some invalids are unwilling to know the facts or to hear about the fallacy of matter and its supposed laws. They devote themselves a little longer to their material gods, cling to a belief in the life and intelligence of matter, and expect this error to do more for them than they are willing to admit the only living and true God can do. Impatient at your explanation, unwilling to investigate the science of mind, which would rid them of their complaints, they hug false beliefs and suffer the delusive consequences. The senses represent birth as untimely and death as irresistible, as if man were a weed growing apace, or a flower withered by the sun and nipped by untimely frosts. But this is true only of a mortal, not of a man in God's image and likeness. The truth of being is perennial, and the error is unreal and obsolete. Who that has felt the loss of human peace has not gained stronger desires for spiritual joy? The aspiration after heavenly good comes even before we discover what belongs to wisdom and love. The loss of earthly hopes and pleasures brightens the ascending path of many a hope, many a heart. The pains of sense quickly inform us that the pleasures of sense are mortal and the joy is spiritual. The pains of sense are salutary if they wrench away false pleasurable beliefs and transplant the affections from sense to soul, where the creations of God are good, rejoicing the heart. The best sermon ever preached is truth practiced and demonstrated by the destruction of sin, sickness, and death. Knowing this, and knowing too that one affection would be supreme in us and take the lead in our lives, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters." We cannot build safely on false foundations. Truth makes a new creature in whom old things pass away and all things are become new. Passion, selfishness, false appetites, hatred, fear, all sensuality yield to spirituality, and the superabundance of being is on the side of God, good. We cannot fill vessels already full. They must first be emptied. Let us disrobe error. Then, when the winds of God blow, we shall not hug our tatters close about us. The way to extract error from mortal mind is to pour in truth through flood tides of love. We cannot serve two masters nor perceive divine signs with the material senses. Drugs and hygiene cannot successfully usurp the place and power of the divine source of all health and perfection. If God made man both good and evil, man must remain thus. What can improve God's work? Again, an error in the premise must appear in the conclusion. To have one God and avail yourself of the power of spirit, you must love God supremely. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. The flesh and spirit can no more unite in action than good can coincide with evil. It is not wise to take a halting and halfway position, or to expect to work equally with spirit and matter, truth and error. There is but one way, namely God and his idea, which leads to spiritual being. The scientific government of the body must be attained through the divine mind. It is impossible to gain control over the body in any other way. On this fundamental point, timid conservatism is absolutely inadmissible. Only through radical reliance on truth can scientific healing power be realized. Substituting good words for a good life, fair seeming for straightforward character, is a poor shift for the weak and worldly who think the standard of Christian Science too high for them. If the scales are evenly adjusted, the removal of a single weight from either scale gives preponderance to the opposite. Whatever influence you cast on the side of matter, you take away from mind, which would otherwise outweigh all else. Your belief militates against your health when it ought to be enlisted on the side of health. When sick, according to belief, you rush after drugs, search out the material so-called laws of health, and depend upon them to heal you, though you have already brought yourself into the slough of disease through just this false belief. Sometimes the human mind uses one error to medicine another. Driven to choose between two difficulties, the human mind takes the lesser to relieve the greater. On this basis, it saves from starvation by theft and quiets pain with anodynes. You admit that mind influences the body somewhat, but you conclude that the stomach, blood, nerves, bones, etc., hold the preponderance of power. Controlled by this belief, you continue in the old routine. You lean on the inert and unintelligent, never discerning how this deprives you of the available superiority of divine mind. The body is not controlled scientifically by a negative mind. Mind is the grand creator, and there can be no power except that which is derived from mind. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you have more faith in drugs than in truth, this faith will incline you to the side of matter and error. Any hypnotic power you may exercise will diminish your ability to become a scientist, and vice versa. The act of healing the sick through divine mind alone, of casting out error with truth, shows your position as a Christian scientist. The demands of God appeal to thought only, but the claims of mortality and what are termed laws of nature appertain to matter. Which then are we to accept as legitimate and capable of producing the highest human good? We cannot obey both physiology and spirit, for one absolutely destroys the other, and one or the other must be supreme in the affections. It is impossible to work from two standpoints. If we attempt it, we shall presently hold to the one and despise the other. Mind's government of the body must supersede the so-called laws of matter. Obedience to material law prevents full obedience to spiritual law, the law which overcomes material conditions and puts matter under the feet of mind. Mortals entreat the divine mind to heal the sick, and forthwith shut out the aid of mind by using material means, thus working against themselves and their prayers, and denying man's God-given ability to demonstrate mind's sacred power. Pleas for drugs and laws of health come from some sad incident or else from ignorance of Christian science and its transcendent power. To admit that sickness is a condition over which God has no control is to presuppose that omnipotent power is powerless on some occasions. The law of Christ or truth makes all things possible to spirit, but the so-called laws of matter would render spirit of no avail and demand obedience to materialistic codes, thus departing from the basis of one God, one lawmaker. To suppose that God constitutes laws of inharmony is a mistake. Discords have no support from nature or divine law, however much is said to the contrary. Can the agriculturist, according to belief, produce a crop without sowing the seed and awaiting its germination according to the laws of nature? The answer is no. And yet the scriptures inform us that sin or error first caused the condemnation of man to till the ground, and indicate that obedience to God will remove this necessity. Truth never made error necessary, nor devised a law to perpetuate error. The supposed laws which result in weariness and disease are not his laws, for the legitimate and only possible action of truth is the production of harmony. Laws of nature are laws of spirit, but mortals commonly recognize as law that which hides the power of spirit. Divine mind rightly demands man's entire obedience, affection, and strength. No reservation is made for any lesser loyalty. Obedience to truth gives man power and strength. Submission to error superinduces loss of power. Truth casts out all evils and materialistic methods with the actual spiritual law, the law which gives sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, voice to the dumb, feet to the lame. If Christian science dishonors human belief, it honors spiritual understanding. And the one mind only is entitled to honor. The so-called laws of are simply laws of mortal belief. The premises being erroneous, the conclusions are wrong. Truth's no laws to regulate sickness, sin, and death, for these are unknown to truth and should not be recognized as reality. Belief produces thoughts of belief. And the pennies it affixes last so long as the belief, and I'm separate from it. The ring consists in probing the trouble to the bottom, in finding and casting out by denial the error of belief which produces a mortal disorder, never honoring erroneous belief with the title of law, nor yielding obedience to it. Truth, life, and love are the only legit and eternal demands on man, and they are spiritual lawgivers, enforcing obedience through divine statutes. We must not attribute more and more intelligence to matter, but less and less, if we would be wise and healthy. The divine mind, which forms the bud and blossom, will care for the human body, even as it knows the lily. But let no will interfere with God's government by thrusting the laws of erring human concepts. When we come to have more faith in the truth of being than we have in air, more faith in spirit than in matter, more faith in living than in dying, more faith in God than in man, then no material oppositions can prevent us from healing the sick and destroying error. To divest thought of false trusts and material evidences in order that the spiritual acts of being may appear, this is the great attainment by means of which we shall sweep away the false and give place to truth. Man walks direction towards which walks, and where his treasure is, there will his heart be also. If our hopes and affections are spiritual, they come from above, not from beneath, and they bear as of old the fruits of the Spirit. To hold yourself superior to sin, because God made you superior to it and governs man, is true wisdom. To fear sin is to misunderstand the power of love and the divine science of being in man's relation to God. To doubt his government and distrust his omnipotent care. To hold yourself superior to sickness and death is equally wise and is in accordance with divine sense. To fear them is impossible when you fully apprehend God and know that they are no part of his creation. Consciousness, where art thou? Art thou dwelling in the belief mind is in matter and that evil is mind? Or art thou in the living faith that there is and can be but one God and his commandment? If the student goes away to practice truth's teaching only in part, dividing his interests between God and mammon, and substituting his own views for truth, he will inevitably reap the error he sows. Whoever would demonstrate the healing of Christian science must abide strictly by its rules, heed every statement, and advance from the rudiments laid down. There is nothing difficult nor toilsome in this task when the way is pointed out, but self-denial, sincerity, Christianity, and persistence alone win the prize, as they usually do in every department of life. Man understands spiritual existence in proportion as his treasures of truth and love are enlarged. Mortals must gravitate Godward. Their affections and aims grow spiritual. They must near the broader interpretations of being and gain some proper sense of the infinite in order that sin and mortality may be put off. This scientific sense of being, forsaking matter for spirit, by no means suggests man's absorption into deity and the loss of his identity, but confers upon man enlarged individuality, a wider sphere of thought and action, a more expansive love, a higher and more permanent peace.
Mm.
This concludes the readings.